This is KERA. I'm Sam Baker. Amid high flu activity in North Texas, health officials also are tracking respiratory syncytial virus. In this edition of KERA's weekly consumer health series, Vital Signs, Dr. Jeffrey Kahn with UT Southwestern Medical Center explains why he calls RSV probably the most important respiratory virus that most people have never heard of.
Well, it's the major respiratory virus of infants and young children, even more so than influenza. By the age of two, nearly 95% of all children have been infected with RSV.
How does that virus come to affect so many children?
It spreads very rapidly in communities, spread through the respiratory route. Your child or you may have respiratory symptoms, a runny nose, a cough. In fact, many parents will recognize this as a mild cold. The issue with RSV is that it also can lead to lower respiratory tract infection. In other words, the virus gets into the lungs and creates a lot of inflammation in the lungs. And this is where children will get into trouble with breathing, difficulty getting oxygen into their blood.
So this is more than just one of those passes in a week kind of things. This can be very serious.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, if you look at pathogens, RSV is the most common cause of hospitalization in children nationwide.
It can affect adults as well. Does the severity of it differ with age?
It's now being recognized that at least particularly in the elderly and people who have compromised immunity, RSV can cause significant lower respiratory tract infection.
Whenever the weekly local, state, or federal flu reports come out, RSV is also listed there. So I was wondering what the tie was there.
There are a couple of reasons why they list RSV. One, obviously, is to look at the local trends to prepare hospitals, particularly children's hospitals, for the surge of admissions. And the other reason is because there is a drug that can be given to children who are at high risk, and these are typically children who are born prematurely, and they can receive this drug once a month, and it's typically given just at the beginning of the RSV season. And since the beginning of the RSV season may fluctuate between October and December, it's important to get that data so we'll know when to give this population of children who are really prone for severe RSV disease this drug.
And of course, being a virus, I guess, can't cure it, but how do you treat it?
For the most part, supportive care. And typically when these children come to the hospital, we give them oxygen, hydration, because a lot of times these kids have a lot of respiratory distress, they can't eat. In the most severe cases, these kids are put on ventilators, so we support their respiratory status. There is one drug that's been approved for the treatment of RSV. It's not very effective. It's difficult to administer, and it's only used under rare circumstances. But that's it. This virus was discovered in 1956 and 57, and since that time, the approach to RSV disease as far as therapy really hasn't changed all that much. We're much better now at supportive care for young infants as far as our ICU type of care, but other than that, there hasn't been any change in the approach to this infection.
You said it spreads rapidly. How do we stop the spread of it, or has any progress been made on that front?
It spread very easily, as I mentioned. One can get infected by a contaminated surface. In the hospital, that's a major problem, and so there are a variety of protective measures that we use, but it's very, very difficult to stop the spread of RSV, even in ideal situations. So in the community, there are probably no reasonable ways to really curtail the spread of this virus.
So if someone asks, how do I prevent my child from getting RSV, what would you tell them?
Wash your hands. that would probably be the best advice I can give.
Dr. Kahn, thank you for being with me.
Oh, it's a pleasure.